new one.
Thank you, Gene.
Mr. Riley had 190 some pages of documents scanned in and two study books. So he was directed by the city clerk where to find your email address.
Okay.
If you were interested in sending it on.
Very good, thank you.
We can do that.
Okay, so we're going to move into the open comment period. And Dave, how can I word this?
Typically, we provide 15 minutes and 3 minutes per person. We kind of expect that we may have differing opinions on each side of your table today. So the suggestion was that we would take 3 speakers from each side. Does that make sense?
Three minutes per speaker, 3 from each side.
By choice?
Okay, so I'll open the open comment period. And if you'd like to speak to the commission, please stand, state your name and address for the record, and let us know what you know.
I'll start it off. Thank you for letting us do it. My name is Ruth Bennett, and we want my address.
Yes, please.
132 Chevelle Lane, Northeast. And I wrote, how did we get ranked choice voting to Rochester? What is the problem that we're trying to fix? And what causes us to fix what is not broken? I support one person, one vote, and here's my reasons why. Number one, ranked choice voting allows the opportunity for injustice through fraud and dishonesty. I support time and money to ensure honest elections. Number two, ranked choice voting is complicated for voters. It would require money be spent on voter education to be certain it is fully understood. Number three, ranked choice voting allows complicated ballot counting. We do not have voting machines capable. Number four, ranked choice voting costs more. Minneapolis, St. Paul have not seen lower costs. You would need to revamp our elections, plus money would need to be spent on education to ensure successfulness. Number five, we would lose the opportunity for primary elections to learn in-depth information about candidates. And number six, our elections are nonpartisan. Let's keep that. Edmund said that ranked choice voting would bring civility to elections. When have our elections not been civil? So in my opinion, ranked choice voting is an attempt to alter our voting system by introducing more headaches and expense than benefits and savings. Thank you.
Thank you. Looking for, yeah, this side. Now, I did hear some short quips and some comments. I'm not sure if I heard those from the table or from the audience, but when someone else is speaking, please respect that and keep your comments to yourself and write them down if needed. Anyone for or opposed want to speak? No one else?
So I'm going to speak against it. I'm Jan Tronson, 925 Northway Lane, Northeast Rochester, Minnesota. I've lived in Rochester all my life. I'm 62 years old, I'll be 63 this year. And I think it's important that in Rochester, we have all these people that want to come out of into our city and say they always want to change Rochester. They come from other states, they come from other places, and they say they like Rochester, but they always want to change Rochester. It's not broken, our voting system isn't broken. We have to go out and go around and we have primaries. If you want to run for office, we have primaries. Again, as she said, it's not, the system isn't broken. What we have is people wanting to come in here and put a bunch of names on, and I see it as being fraudulent that you can really get the wrong person in office by the time you start throwing ballots out and doing whatever you do to get to the last person on your choice, versus when the people walk in and you can say, this is a person, I go to Legal Women Voters, they hold the stuff there at the Legal Women Voters, we listen, we talk to the candidates. So again, it's not broken, Rochester, but it seems to me a lot of people want to come into Rochester. Can you change things in Rochester? I see the city administrators, I see a lot of people come into Rochester, change it, and then they leave. And they leave us a mess. Our foundation in Rochester, the reason why we are such a good city in Rochester, is because we have citizens that have lived here all their life and are stable and make this economy and Rochester, the city, a great city it is. Thank you.
Anyone else caring to speak on this subject or any subject for that matter? Yes, sir.
Forgive me, I'm having some trouble breathing. Mark Sampson, 1411 Durand Court, Southeastern. And I just want to make a comment on 2 points. First of all, as to one man, one vote, if you believe that ranked choice voting subverts the principle of one man, one vote, then by logical inference, you must believe that primary elections subvert elections the same way. Because if you can issue a vote in the first rank in ranked choice voting and a vote for somebody else in the second rank, in the end, it's only the final vote that matters, the final vote that's registered in the final round of the tallies. So it would be like accusing everybody who's ever voted in a primary election and then a general election of double voting. We don't do that. We say you voted in the primary and then you voted in the general. Likewise in ranked choice voting, the votes you cast in the first one, two, or three rounds, whatever it takes, those first votes are, they're equivalent to a primary vote or a runoff vote. It's just that you've collapsed the primary and the general into one election. The second point, as the system not being broken, the system is broken any time you have more than two people in an election, or it's potentially broken. I won't say it's always broken, but it's potentially broken any time you have three or more candidates in one race, whether it's whether they have partisan labels or not. Even if it's just three nonpartisan people, the likelihood is that there's a reasonable likelihood that maybe two of those people are closer together in philosophy and position than the third person. Consequently, they will split votes. And perhaps the third person, who has the least support in the community, ends up winning a plurality because the two who are similar split the votes. And that's true whether you call them Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, or just nonpartisan. So I hold that the system is potentially broken right now. It only works if you have exactly two people in a race.
Anyone else care to speak? Sir, in the back.
Stephen Kuhn, 4102 Northwest 14th Avenue, Rochester. I am against ranked choice voting because, first of all, I believe our system is not broken. And as for one vote, one choice, yes, I vote primary. And yes, I will vote in secondary. It's not two separate votes, it's just a runoff. Our system is not broken. And as for two people who have the same view and then you have a third candidate, that's why we have a primary. That's exactly why. We want the two best candidates out there and we want to choose from them. We don't want a third person to come out there and have the choice. Besides that, I'm American. We've been all Americans. We want our votes count. What if I don't want to vote for a second or third choice? How about that? Have you thought about that? No, of course not. Because the second and third choice may not be the best person. I think the way that we currently have it, with the primary election, which is not additional, too much additional expenses that we currently have, because what we have is not broken. And why waste the money? We were told that the election machines don't have the right software. We were told that we, if we did that, we would have to have special machines that are set up. Our auto marks don't work. I think the expenses outweighs the benefits. We have other things to take care of the people in Rochester for the common good and worry about the choice voting.
Thank you. Anyone else care to speak? Yes, sir?
Albert Vesper, 2122 Bolson Court, Southwest. It seems to me that ranked choice voting opens the door to count until we win. Also, I have some serious questions about how you would ever be able to handle a recount if such became necessary. And that's really all I wanted to bring up. Thank you.
Go, let's go, Mark.
Point of order?
Yeah.
You said three against and three for, and that was four against.
Well, we assumed that you were opposite of either side here, so.
Yeah. Is there, sir, you had your hand up, and then we'd be looking for anyone who cared to speak that would be for.
I will, but I wasn't prepared to. First of all, by saying that it costs more money, we save money by not doing. Sorry, Michelle Sykes, 5021 19 and a half Avenue Northwest. I'm really nervous, sorry.
Sure, thank you, Michelle.
First of all, we'd save money by not having to do a primary. And in a primary, like in the last primary, I think 30,000 Democrats showed up, 11,000 Republicans, somewhere in that neighborhood. Those people decide who our final people are on the general election. That so it limits people that might win if they had gotten that far to a ranked choice vote, and it doesn't go on and on forever, and you don't have to vote for a second or a third choice. And it is one person, one vote, because the way it works, your first choice is counted in the first round, and if that person doesn't get enough votes, then that person is kicked out of the selection process, and then your second vote kicks in. Your first vote is annulled, basically. It's gone. And then your second vote kicks in. And so you don't, and if the second round, your second vote gets kicked out, then your third vote gets kicked in, right? I'm saying this right? Yeah. So you only get one vote. Your first or your second vote might get thrown out, but you only get one vote in the end. Only one vote. And I'm not sure about this, but with recounts, it shouldn't be any more difficult. You still have the ballot, you just go through it again, just the same way you do now. So I don't see how it's a problem. It brings more people into the process of selecting more candidates, because when you have the general election, I don't know how many more people show up, but considerably more people show up in the general election. So you have more people making the choice with more choices to be made, and people aren't kicked out early in the process who, like he said, may have had the plurality of the vote in the general, or may have won in the general, but they get kicked out early in the process in the primary based on the votes of 11,000 people, you know? In the whole state of Minnesota, that shouldn't work that way. So that, sorry, I'm nervous.
That's all right, thank you. Well,
Mr. Chair, I would like to speak. I would be speaking against ranked choice voting.
One second here. I'll look for a for ranked choice voting first. Is there another one? Anyone else in the audience that would like care to speak to that? Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say that ranked choice.
Name and address for the record, please.
Stand up, please.
I would prefer not to stand up because I have multiple sclerosis and have trouble standing.
That's fine. Okay. What was the name?
Paula Hardin. 5805 Molina Court Northwest. Ranked choice voting allows a majority of people to actually have their vote count. When you have five different people and they're splitting the vote, it's going to inaccurately end up being a popularity contest. Instead of, because it's going to be the popular candidate that gets the popular two, and the third doesn't even get a chance to run, basically. So, but with ranked choice voting, you get your first choice and a second choice and a third choice. That doesn't make it multiple votes because only one vote ends up counting. But what happens is if the first candidate is non-viable, you know, so they only get 10 votes, then your second candidate would still be in contention. So as you do the rank, your preferences are still allowed. Whereas if you have a primary and your candidates are limited to two, you don't get to have your vote count if this, you know, only the one person gets a vote. So you still end up with the same principle like when delegates at the federal level, when the state gives all the delegates to one person, you've just eliminated 90% of the other side, you know, because you've excluded their votes. And that's just fundamentally wrong, the way that the delegates are allocated. And so this ranked choice voting has evolved in order to try to address some of those issues.
Okay, thank you, Paul. With hearing 3 and 4, is there anyone else that would care to speak not on this topic?
Can I make a point? There were 4 people who spoke against. I think she wanted to speak for, or somebody back there wanted to speak for.
Mr. Chairman.
Correct. Thank you for that point.
Did you want to speak, I thought?
I was not at the last meeting. I understand that there are some people who are very concerned about this issue and they want to state their case. But my reading of the minutes would indicate that the commission at the last meeting decided not to entertain a forum and not to entertain a public hearing. And right now, through this guise of saying public comment, and you set the rules at 3 apiece, and now we're up to 4, and then we'll have 4, and then we'll have 5, and pretty soon we'll have 10. If the commission wants to have a forum or a public hearing, then let's have one. But let's not invent this process as we're going along. I think we've exhausted the comments that you said, at least in terms of the ground rules. Now, if everyone else at this table disagrees, or a majority, then that's fine. But that's my perspective on this at this point.
Thank you, Fred. Frank?
If I made that point, last time we purposely set up that as a special meeting for this group to discuss it, so that's why. And let me also point out that in the first occasion when this topic came up, we had a similar open comment. It's been the tradition on our regular meetings to have a 15-minute open comment.
Okay, that's...
Period. And whatever people want to comment about, this time they happen to want to comment, and we've heard different comments.
Mr. Chair, I know we're pretty close to, if not over, the 15 minutes, but if there is a fourth person that would like to speak in favor, I think we should give them that courtesy.
I agree with
you.
No.
I'm sorry.
Is there a fourth person that would like to speak for ranked choice voting?
I think we're going at it. Paul Johnson, spelled S-E-N. 3328 Knob Lane in Rochester. I consider myself a moderate. Used to vote Republican, but I just kind of swung to the left a bit, I guess. I've been kind of disappointed with elections for a long time. Not necessarily the city, but I would say at the state and federal level. And I think Mr. Sampson expressed the issue pretty well, that you have this vote splitting, or the spoiler issue, that's come up for me fairly often. The other issue, I guess, is that, you know, when the primaries are lightly attended. You know, it's nobody's fault, I guess, except the public's, but you end up having these extremes in political viewpoint deciding who runs in the general, when most people end up voting, or they decide, well, I'm not going to vote because I don't like either one of those folks. So for a lot of reasons, this is the first time I've become politically active on any issue. I don't think I've ever donated to a candidate even, but this has me excited about the possibility of Rochester leading in this way. I want this to come about nationwide to solve some of the problems that we've been seeing in past elections. And it has to happen from the bottom up, because it's obvious nothing will happen from the top down. So that's why I think Rochester should be in this area and join the movement to improve our election process. Thank you.
Is this on ranked choice voting, ma'am?
Yes.
No, I apologize. We've taken 4 and 4. Are there any other public comments outside the 15-minute window not on ranked choice voting? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing.
open comment period.
I'm sorry, the public comment period. Verbiage. Okay, so committee reports, we have none. Unfinished and deferred business. And our topic tonight, everyone, is ranked choice voting. I know we're all surprised by that. So I'll open it up to the commission. Who has what to say? We were all given some outlines and some details on how we should approach this by Mr. Gosley. There were a few emails that floated around about different people's opinion, whether they're for, against, or in between. Most of us were at the last meeting trying to figure out, is this a topic that we think our body should conquer? I think that's where we left it. So Kathy, I think I saw your hand up. Go
yeah.
first.
I thought a lot about this and actually talked to a number of people in the interim between the meetings. And I understand that one of our city council members would like us to do some public education and conduct a forum similar to what's been held in some other communities. I don't think that the Charter Commission has to do that. That's not our role. There are two pathways for questions to come before the voters to change the charter. The first one is obviously this body could decide that something needs to be changed, or somebody brings us an idea, we evaluate it, and we move it forward to the city council, and the city council may accept it unanimously, or they may send it back to us, and then we would have to decide, do we want to send that out to the voters? The other route is the voters themselves can bring an issue forward directly to the voters. We don't have to approve the putting something on the ballot if it comes up through a petition. And we've really discussed this issue. Well, Bob pointed out we actually revisited it 5 years ago. I just think that given the information that's been provided to us and the fact that this really is more of a political decision than a process decision, which is what we typically are going to be dealing with here, that it's something that we ought to let the citizens' petition go forward and vote not to send this on to the city council.
Okay. Thank you for the comments.
Well, I guess I would send it to the city council if I was convinced that that it had some reasonable chance of being adopted. I understand that a recent non-controversial amendment that was sent to the city council has not received the vote of the council members for one reason or another, so that isn't a given anyway. Here's my personal take on this. I'm partly responsible, I think, for trying to push this to a point of discussion at an earlier meeting. I frankly still am not convinced one way or the other as to what ought to be done about this. I'm concerned about, for example, the odd year election issue. As city attorney back a long time ago, I was involved in charter amendments, so we got our city elections to coincide with everybody else's, because that was something that was important at that time. On the other hand, I don't think this body, and I guess I agree with Kathy, I don't think we're set up, or at least historically we have operated in a way that puts us under this glare of this spotlight, and we don't have any staff, and we meet once every couple of months, and this sort of thing. So I don't think this is a very good place for all these discussions to take place, and I agree we don't have an educational function. That's not our role under the charter, under the statutes. I will sign a referendum petition if somebody will provide that to me. I will take a bunch of those and talk to other friends of mine, because I think it's important, and I think that discussion should take place on the larger landscape of the public. It should take place in, you know, in your clubs, in your churches, wherever you meet your friends, wherever you talk about these things. I don't think this body is the body that's the key in this one. I think the people who are proponents of this need to make their case to the public, and I'm prepared to do anything at this point personally to see that it's done without having to go through the city council, without having to go through this body. I think that's the appropriate way to handle it. So If somebody wants me to sign a petition, I'll do it on the way out, but I can't vote at this point to continue discussion on this matter. That's my perspective.
Okay. Dave?
I want to talk a little bit about the referendum process, because I've heard that there might be people out collecting signatures already. Minnesota statutes, section 410.12, has a very specific list of what needs to be in that petition. Must be only be signed by registered voters. Shall have attached to it the text of the proposed amendment. So someone's going to have to take the charter provisions and say, what do I need to amend in order to allow for ranked choice voting? So if there's a petition and all it asks for is, are you in favor of ranked choice voting, it doesn't comply with the statute and it wouldn't be accepted as a proper petition to take the voting. So if there is someone doing a petition, make sure they're familiar with the 410.12 and their strict compliance, because otherwise it won't be accepted by the city clerk as a proper. And I will mention that Anissa Hollingshed is here today if you have any questions over. But I just wanted to bring up that point.
Yeah, you're right, David. And I would also point out that in the Minnesota Supreme Court decision of Minnesota Voters Alliance versus City of Minneapolis, a 2009 decision, where ranked choice voting was challenged on a variety of grounds, some of which we've heard at various times, the Supreme Court unanimously decided it was constitutional. And in that decision, there's basically the language of the charter amendment that was required in Minneapolis, and I would suspect that would be a template somebody would want to use. So.
Very well. Thank you for that information, Dave. Dave Senjum?
Mr. Chair, I would. I'm sensing a reasonably divided community on this. I don't know necessarily about the Charter Commission, but I'm going to try it out anyway. So I would move that the Rochester Charter Commission not take a position on ranked choice voting.
I would second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there further discussion on that?
Well, at least
it's repeated it for change.
It would have the advantage of something that happened the last time when we tabled it and then we had to untable it. So if you're just going to turn it down, I guess that doesn't put a stake in its heart at that point. So,
Jane, were you looking for clarification on that?
No, I'm just wondering what you're talking about.
Well,
you're not going to call the question. Is that right?
I think it's just words, but my motion was that the Rochester Charter Commission not take a position on ranked choice voting.
Right. And I seconded that.
Mm-hmm.
And just for comment, kind of follow up to Cassie and some of the other things that have been said, we've listened to information, but the more we got, the more I felt like looking at the parameters of Charter Commission, this really was getting us into a realm that is not a realm we step into. It's more a realm of other groups doing public education, or we don't do the hearing, councils do that. So, yeah.
Bob?
Just like I mentioned to Kathy that I did a little digging back in the annals 5 years ago this past January, this issue was brought before us. And I was trying to remember what we talked about because the minutes were somewhat abbreviated in terms of detail. But I think I sensed that at that time, that really wasn't our purview to delve into that thing. And given that there didn't appear to be, you know, people standing at the door, you know, demanding or insisting on that, we just basically decided no longer should we give it any further consideration, or it wasn't even our body to do it. Now, if elected officials want to take that on as initiative, which they can do under the charter, mm-hmm. or respond to the public's petition for referendum on the subject, well, so be it. I thought even when this was raised to us a few months back, that I thought it would ultimately end up in a referendum forum and either rise or fall on its own merits. I certainly think we could probably provide personally some inputs in terms of what should be some components in that, had it be, does it eventually become successful, if it has become successful, so that we can ensure that the integrity of the vote is maintained throughout every step of the process. And there are a few more steps in the process than what we have today. So, but beyond that, that's all I have to comment.
Okay. Further? Actually, Dave had something first.
That's right.
We've discussed both the referendum process and we've discussed the city council approval by ordinance process. There is a third process, and that is an amendment initiated by the city council itself. They would then forward it to the charter commission. The charter commission could review it, make recommendations, and then send it back to the city council. And ultimately, the city council chooses what language they would want to put on the ballot. So there is that third process if the city council is truly interested in.
But at the flip side to that, David, we could send it back with no recommendation if we so choose to, if they initiated a request of our comment.
Right, you don't have to take any action. You have a right to propose something different or
say
endorse it.
Say we have no position on this matter.
Or take no position, correct.
Right. Fran, did you have something?
Yes, I do. First, I think to that point, at least as best I can, and I think Fred mentioned it, I've had conversation with a number of city council members, and that's not going to happen. The support's not there. But what I want to come back to, because the original question that was brought to us was to sponsor, if you will, a public hearing. And Dave, I wonder if you'd be open to kind of an amendment that we make it clear that we also are not interested in sponsoring a public forum.
Through the Charter Commission?
The Charter Commission, not sponsoring. I mean, that can be done independently. There'll be one League of Women Voters tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
But I'd hate to think we come back to our next meeting and we come back to discussing the Charter Commission being aghast again to do that. We should make it clear, I think, that we're not interested and we don't think it's appropriate for the Charter Commission to do that.
Well, I think that's kind of implied by Dave's motion.
I don't know if it is.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, and we were a lot about germaneness, you know, is it germane to the motion? I think it'd be more clear if we just...
I could make it as a separate motion after we deal with it.
Moved and then,
yeah.
Fair enough.
And then do your motion.
John, did you have something?
Just about to Dave's clarification. So that amendment, is that to be unanimous from the council or to bring it back to us?
To initiate it?
Yeah.
No. Only if they approve it by ordinance do they need 7-0.
Okay. No, but if the council sends a, I think they could probably adopt that by
majority.
Majority. I don't see anything in that subdivision that says it's got to be unanimous council.
Right. If they initiate it.
Yeah.
Then it comes to you. You have the right to make a recommendation or not make a recommendation. It goes back to the city council. They decide what the ordinance or what the charter amendment will be, and they decide what the ballot question will be.
That's right. But it's still got to be approved by the voters at that point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it can start by majority.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion and the second that we have? Do we need to be reminded of the motion and the second that we have?
I think David's was quite clear on what
yeah.
he
yeah.
was
short and sweet. We're not going to.
All right, seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
No abstentions.
Are there any abstentions? I'm sorry, LJ.
I keep you.
Yes, I appreciate the assistance. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we'd like to offer a motion that we also make it clear that the Charter Commission would not be sponsoring a public hearing.
On this topic?
On this topic, I'm sorry, yes.
Would that be the motion or just a declaration?
Recording in the minutes, maybe?
I would second the motion. I think we need to take it into the back.
Okay, well, so the motion is that we're not going to do something that we haven't proposed that we do yet, because we're not going to do it. No, but I mean that's exactly what it is. I mean, if we're acting sort of like a legislative body, that's like saying that we can't do something in the future if we think it's a better idea. If we think something's a better idea at that point, I nobody's proposed that we do this, Fran, and I guess I don't understand why we would go out and tell people we're not.
Right, we did, we spent a lot of time discussing the motion to hold a public hearing.
First of all, remember we're being recorded, so only one person speak at a time. But we do actually have a request in the form of the letter or email from Councilmember Wojcik. And so I think we need to take an action to respond to him to say we are choosing not to hold a public forum or public hearing on this topic.
I don't think this commission takes orders from any member of the council, including or excluding that particular member of the council. I assume his communication to us was his suggestion as to what he thought we ought to do, but he's not in charge. And if we don't do something, that's we don't do something.
Fred, to your point, he did stand up and say he was speaking as a individual citizen and not a council member. And I don't know if I don't think the letter came from the city, from his position, city council, but as a citizen.
Any friend?
And just to make it clear, it was one of our members who made the motion that we sponsor this. And last time, all we did was turn down a motion to do it on March 13th, which left it open. So I think it still remains within this body an open question, and I think this would just help clarify.
Mr. Senchin?
Just Dave.
Okay. I got two Daves here, so
okay.
I got
to. All right.
I knew that was
going to. So, when I got appointed, I can certainly stand to be corrected or have a conversation, but when I got appointed to this, as well as every one of the rest of us, I sensed that I was part of a what might call a quasi judicial process here, mm-hmm. and not a political process. Appointed by a judge, a district court judge, to come and to be part of a commission that judges the city of Rochester's charter. And in that sense, I just don't think it's consistent to have public hearings. I think they belong in the political process, i.e. the city council. I think we are to thoughtfully examine the charter and make recommendations to the city council, and that's our job, based on what we think. And it may sound insensitive, I don't mean to be that way, but I just think this is more of a judicial, or at least a quasi-judicial process than a political process that you might run into if you're in the state legislature, a city council, or anything else. So that's my thought.
Well, so there is a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on that? Seeing none? I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Any abstentions, LJ? None. On to new business. Any other new business?
Did the motion carry?
Yes.
Yes, the motion carried.
Mm-hmm.
Any other business? Not under new business? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I should call that question.
Yeah, no discussion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
And thank you all for coming.
Motion carries.
Fred, you voted no because you